Today's daf is daf Pei Dalet. We're going to start at the very, very bottom of Pei Gimel Amud Bet, the last few words. If you remember, we had this very bizarre story about Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon, right, the son of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, the one who lived in the cave with him, and very strange story about him being moser people to their death by the enemy. He was feeling very righteous that he was getting rid of the bad people of the community. But despite the fact that he was feeling righteous about it, right, he ends up being a little wishy-washy about it and isn't exactly sure and wants to kind of prove his righteousness. And he does some sort of surgical procedure by removing all the fat in his body and leaving it out to rot and showing that if it doesn't rot, that means his insides are good, which means that he did the right thing, which is a very strange test of his doing the right thing. And in the end, he comes to the conclusion, Af b'sari yishkon lebetach. Okay, very strange story. We'll continue. What's interesting here, the Gemara sort of goes off on tangent, but then comes back to him, okay? After it goes through a whole bunch of other stories, some of them are going to be familiar to you. Okay. Af Rabbi Yishmael, Rabbi Yossi, Mata Kihai Mas Eliade. The same thing, strangely enough, happened to Rabbi Yishmael, Rabbi Yossi, okay? Not the part about him taking out his innards. However, he is obese, like Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, like we'll see.
These are the same ones that said that women are heavier on the donkey?
Well, wait till you hear about their wives here. You'll see, okay? Not to worry. The wives are coming in here. So, good, interesting connection about the weight on the donkey. So, same thing happened, which is what? That he also became the guy in charge of catching ganavim, like Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon, and he was the one who ended up putting people to their death. Paga be Eliyahu, okay? Instead of this lesson was Rabbi Shimon Korcha, now all of a sudden it's Eliyahu and Avi comes. Amar le, exactly the same words that Rabbi Shimon Korcha said. Ab matay ata moser Moshe lelokeinu lahariga. Right, whether Eliyahu said the exact same words, Rabbi Shimon Korcha, or again, right? These are stories. I'll remind you my approach to stories, which is they didn't necessarily happen this way, right? The Gemara is using them, and today particularly we're going to talk about what the Gemara's purpose in using these stories is, what are the messages they're trying to come across. Some of them will see their themes that we've seen before. Amar Le, he answers him, Maya Avid, Harmana de Malka, who writes the same word as before, it's the edict of the king, there's nothing I could do about it. Amar Le, he says, what do you mean there's nothing you could do about it? Okay, here we get a different answer. Here the story changes a little bit. Amar Le, Avuch Arak La Asya, At Arak La Lukia, your father ran away from the non-Jewish authorities to Astia. You can run away to Lutkia. In other words, what do you mean you have no choice? There's no such thing. If you really didn't want to be doing this job, you could find some way to go somewhere else. Kiava Mikle, Rabbi Yishmael, Rabbi. Okay, so that's the end of the story about him, but now we're going to see that there was the similarity about their obesity. Kiava Mikle, Rabbi Yishmael, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, Bahade Hadade. If you would put their two bodies next to each other, okay, belly to belly, okay, what would happen? Their stomachs were so big that have a bakra de Torah b'nehem. You could have a pair of oxen go underneath them, okay, underneath their stomachs. That's how wide the space was, okay? That's how fat they were. Below have a nagubhu, and it wouldn't even touch them. Okay, now we're going to get, if you think everything was strange until now, this next section of the Gemara is even more bizarre. Amrale Hau Matronita, a Matronita comes, this is a Roman wealthy woman who shows up in the Gemara from time to time and asks the rabbis questions, annoying questions. Binechem enam shelachem. She says, your children must not be yours because you're so fat, how can you possibly have sex with your wives? Amrula shelahen gadol mishelanu. Here you have it about the wives. Their stomachs are even bigger than ours. Okay? So, in other words, therefore...
How's that even a response?
Right. It's a good question, exactly. I'm not going to get into the... Right. I don't know exactly how that resolves all the issues, but we won't get there. Okay, so then she answers, "Kol us." So the truth is, no, that's exactly her response. Kol shekein. She says, all the more so. In other words, if they're so fat and you're so fat, how could you possibly have relations? Ike de amre. Some people say it wasn't that they said their wives are so fat, but that this is what they said to her. Hachi amrula ki ki'ish gvurato. Okay, basically saying that their male organs were just as large as their stomachs, in which case it was possible for them to have sexual relations. Ike de amre, hachi amrala. Okay, this is what they said to her. Ahava docheket et habasar. Right, love takes away the fat, basically, or pushes down the fat so that when we're with our wives, you know, our fat kind of consolidates into a smaller area. Okay, it's very strange. V'lama lehu l'ha'adura la. Now, better question, why do they even have to answer? B'haktiv, al ta'ang sil kivelto. Right? In other words, you're not supposed to answer a stupid person according to their stupid questions. So lo lehotzi la'as al v'nehem. Right? They didn't want people suspicious about their children, that maybe their children didn't belong to them, and therefore they had to respond to her. Okay, in the context of this, okay, again, I'm going to hold off until maybe toward the end of the daf, after we get through all the stories, to kind of make sense about what this is all doing here, okay? I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Ivri de Rabbi Yishmael be Rabbi Yossi kechamat bat tesha kabin. Okay, the pshat seems to be that we're talking about the Aver Hamin, okay, of each of these rabbis, their sexual organs. We're now going to say how large they were. Okay, very bizarre why the Gemara would be having a discussion. Some of the Mepharshim obviously don't like that the Gemara is talking about this, and they suggest what Rabbeinu Peretz says, it means the diet of each of these rabbis. What exactly the purpose of saying what their diet is, but it's strange. Some people say it means their arms or their legs. Some people will try and say they're physically fit. There's a whole bunch of different bizarre interpretations. Okay, they're going to talk about now the size of, let's just assume the pshat, which is as bizarre as it could be. The Evar of Rabbi Yishmael of Rabbi Yossi was like a jug that had in it tesha kabin, nine kabin of, you know, volume. Amar of Papa, Rav Papa says, Ivri de Rabbi Yochanan kechamat bat chameshet kabin. Okay, his was a little smaller, but still very large. Va'amrele bat shloshet kabin. Okay, machloka, whether it's five or whether it's three. De Rav Papa Gufe, he himself, his was ki dekuri de harpanai, which is like either the pitchers or the baskets of harpanai, which obviously the assumption was they were very large.
Six kabin.
Oh, okay. They say it right. The Mepharshim say it's six kabin. No, for sure. It's very bizarre. That's what I'm saying. Why this is here is a very good question. I want to answer it.
Generations until they finally got to this. If it's pointless and we're not learning anything from it.
Right. So I think we are learning something from it. Right. So it's quite bizarre, quite out of place. Why are they talking about this? But I want to hold off because I want to tie all these stories together in the end. Okay. So, right. I'm a Rabbi Yochanan. Okay. It even gets stranger now. Right. This is something you're going to be more familiar with, I think. Ana, here comes Rabbi Yochanan. It says, Ana ishtarei mishapirei Yerushalayim. I am left over from the beautiful people of Yerushalayim. Hai man debayim mechzei shufrei to Rabbi Yochanan. Those who want to see the beauty of Rabbi Yochanan, they want to see how gorgeous he was. Naite kasa de kaspa mi be salke. Go take a cup of a silver goblet from be salke. When it comes out of the smiths. Okay, when it's like, you know, very fresh, you know, very brand new, shiny. Unimalye parditia de romna, sumka, fill it with the seeds of a red pomegranate. Venehajo le kalila de varda sumka, and put in it these red roses, lepume, on the edge of it. Venote ben shimsha letula, and put it in between the sunlight and the shade. Hahu zehori me'en shufre de Rabbi Yochanan. When you see that luster, that shine, that's the beauty. That's a bit of the beauty of what Rabbi Yochanan looked like. Okay, strange comparison. I don't know exactly why it's compared to these things, but that's how beautiful he was. So then they say, Ini, is that really true? Now, I think that this is a continued discussion, right? We're talking about the beauty of the rabbis, how large their sexual organ their sexual organs were. What's this whole discussion about beauty, about, you know, their sexual lives? What's going on here? So keep it in mind. So now we're going to see about his beauty. Was he really so beautiful? Vaha marmar, shufri de Rav Kahana, me'ein shufri de Rabbi Abahu. They say about Rav Kahana that his beauty was almost like the beauty of Rabbi Abahu. And shufri de Rabbi Abahu, me'ein shufri de Yaakov Avinu. And his was like the beauty of Yaakov Avinu. And shufri de Yaakov Avinu, me'ein shufri de Adam HaRishon. His beauty was almost like the beauty, was the semblance of the beauty of Adam HaRishon. Now notice this list. Who's missing in this list, right? V'ilu Rabbi Yochanan lo kachashiv le. So what are the answer? Shani Rabbi Yochanan dehadrat panim lo havyale. He didn't have this hidur panim. Okay, he didn't have, what does Rashi say? He didn't have a beard. Okay, strange, right? So because he didn't have a beard, that's why he wasn't mentioned here. Okay, first of all, here you have proof that rabbis don't need to have beards, right? Okay. They want to be beautiful, they need to have a beard. But yes, Rabbi Yochanan was pretty important though and didn't have a beard, so there you have it. Okay. Now we're going to see the story that I think you've heard before, but maybe not. Rabbi Yochanan hava azav yatev ashari tvila. He used to sit outside the mikvaot. Right? Why is this? Amar ki sal kam beno Yisrael mitvilat mitzvah lifgu ubi ki hechi dilahav elu b'nei shapire kavate. Okay, so what does he say? He would sit outside the Beit HaTfilah so that all the women that would pass by, right, would look at him as they were on their way to have sex with their husbands, and that would make ensure that they would have children that were as beautiful as him. And not only as beautiful, here we finally have, at least it's not all about beauty, Gemire Oraita Kavate, and also they would be Talmud scholars, you know, Torah scholars like I am. Okay? There's a whole thing about a concept in the ancient world that what you looked at when you were having sex would be what your children would look like or things like that. So as a result, you know, this wasn't while they were having sex, but on her way home from the mikvah.
Okay, very odd. Sitting outside.
Yeah, no, the whole thing is clearly odd. Well, Sha'arei Tefillah just means when they were walking out of the, you know, right, out of the river. Obviously, very odd, very unsanual. What's he doing outside the mikvah, right? It would be very embarrassing if there would be a rabbi sitting outside the mikvah watching the women coming out. Again, you have to remember, these stories didn't necessarily happen the way they were told, right? We're getting across an image. What you see here is there's a... Okay, I'll already start getting to some of the messages I think we're coming across in these stories. I think all of these fit into an arrogance theme, right? We're starting with Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon, who thought, oh, I know how to tell Ganavim, right? And then he gets annoyed at someone and he sends him, he uses his power and his position of power to basically, you know, send this guy to his death, then he feels bad, then he this, and then he tries to prove it to everybody that he's right, prove it to himself, prove it to everybody else. There's a theme of arrogance going on here. We've seen it way back in the beginning that I always reference that story with Rabban Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua and the arrogance of the rabbis, and when Rabban Gamliel kicks Rabbi Yeshua out. And we talked about it then, and we talked about it many times, that the Bavli, in general, is, again, what are these stories? These stories didn't actually happen, but what's the idea? The rabbis are retelling stories, and in different variations, to get across messages. So what are they trying to do? They're trying to get across a message, particular message. And here I think the message they're trying to get across is that there's a lot of arrogance in the Beit Midrash. And this is something that we have to deal with, right? In other words, it's not... You know, rabbis are not perfect, and we know this from our day and age, and that people, when they get to positions of power, abuse the power, and even great rabbis, like Rabbi Yochanan, maybe went too far in a certain, you know, in this area, maybe thought too much of himself, of his beauty. We're going to see that eventually Rabbi Yochanan has a very bad ending to his life. We're going to get to that story today also, the story of Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish. And I think it's all connected, and I don't think that these stories were meant to show off nice things about the rabbis. I think they were intended to be critical, and we can be self-critical. Now remember, whether or not this is really what Rabbi Yochanan did, that's not what's important here. What's important is the rabbis who wrote these stories are telling these stories over to tell the people of their times, we have to do some bdika atzmi and, you know, self look at our world in a critical way and try to improve the relation to the Beit Midrash. Again, every time we mention these themes, we talk about, you know, the Rabbi Akiva and all the students dying because of Sinat Chinam, and the, you know, the way the rabbis speak to each other with disrespect. All that comes up over and over again. So these stories, I think, fit in with that theme. Which, again, I think going back to the size of their sexual organs, that's all bragging, right? I'm better than you. I'm smarter than you. You know, I'm better in bed than you. It's all of this competition. And there was a lot of competition in the Babylonian Batei Midrash. We talked about it in other stories where if you look at the same stories told in the version of the Yerushalmi, they don't come about in the same, the details aren't the same, they're not the same issues that go on because there was much less going on. First of all, there were much fewer people, so once there's fewer people, there's less competition. But the Batei Midrash did not have the same issues that they did in Bavel. And therefore, in the Bavli, this is very much the focus. Okay. So now, Amru le Rabbanan, lo mistafei mar me'ina bisha. So the rabbis say to him, are you not worried about ayin hara? In other words, you're looking at yourself as you're so beautiful, you know, that's going to bring the ayin hara. So what does he say to them? Amar lehu, anu mizara di Yosef ka'atina de lo shalta be'ina bisha. I'm from the Zara of Yosef, and there's no ayin hara, dechtiv, ben porat Yosef, ben porat ale ayin, v'am rabbi avau, al tekre ale ayin, ela ole ayin. Okay, meaning that they're above the Yetzer Hara. Okay, they can the Ayin Hara. Okay. Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina Amar Mehacha, V'yidgu Larov Bekerav Haaretz. We can learn it from here about the sons of Yaakov, right? What does it say about them? The bracha, right? V'yidgu Larov Bekerav Haaretz. Madagim Shabayam Mayim Chasim Otam Be'en Ayin Sholetet Bahem, right? What's unique about Dagim? They're underwater, so the Ayin Hara, right? People can't see them, and the Ayin Hara can't get to them. After Rosh Yosef, the Ayin Hara. After Rosh Yosef, Ein Ha'ayin Sholetet Bahem, okay? Also, Zarosh Yosef, Ayin Hara doesn't get to them. So two ways of proving. Different psukim from Yosef. Yom Achada, okay? Here starts the famous story of Rish Lakish. So with Rabbi Yochanan's beauty, what happens? Yom Achada Hava Kasache Rabbi Yochanan B'Yardina. He was swimming in the Yarden. Chaz Yerish Lakish V'Shava L'Yardin Abatrei. Rish Lakish sees his reflection in the water and he jumps right in thinking he's a woman because he was so beautiful. Amarle.
Rish Lakish sees Rabbi Yochanan's reflection, not his
yes.
own reflection.
No.
He sees his.
Oh, I meant he sees Rabbi Yochanan's reflection. Obviously, because Rabbi Yochanan was beautiful. He thinks he's a woman. He goes in after him. And, right, Rish Lakish, if you remember, right, he was a bandit. He was a listim. He was a bad guy. And he goes after this woman into the water, and Rabbi Yochanan sees what he does, and Amarle, Chelech Laoraita, your strength should be used for Torah. Look at what strength and power you have. It should be used for Torah. Amarle, Shufrach Lenashe, your beauty should be used for women. In other words, right, what are you doing? Wasting it on a man, you could say, or maybe, what are you doing in the Beit Midrash? You should be using your beauty, right, to attract women. I don't know exactly if you can, you might be able to interpret it both ways. Amarle, Ihadrapach, Yavina lach achoti de Shapira minai. He says, if you return, okay, now some of the Mefarshim say, what does it mean return? It means he was good to begin with, then he turned into a listim, like he was a Talmid Chacham from the beginning. But I don't know if that's really the pshat, but because we always say chozer b'tshuva, even if someone wasn't religious to begin with. He says, if you're chozer b'cha, and you come to learn, I will give you my sister, who's more beautiful than me. What is this? He's using his sister, right? Very strange, using his sister to kind of, you know, where's his sister's interest in things, right? Does he own his sister? Anyway, interesting point. Then, so what does he do? Kabi alale, he says, okay, I'll come. Bai lemehajo la tuye mane velo matze. He wants now to go back to get his clothes, and he can't. In other words, what happens here? What they're trying to say is, his strength that he had when he dove into the water and all that strength, now that he's designated to Torah, he no longer had that strength to go back and go. Now, it's symbolic, right? In other words, he couldn't go back to his old clothes. There's a lot of symbolism going on here. It was more like once he went, there was no going back. Okay, maybe that's one way of looking at it. Or also, once he put his strength that way, right, you can't split your strengths into a million places, right? So once you put them one way, they're not going to go back the other way. Hadar akriya ba'atnea v'shavi gavar rabba. So he taught him to read and to lishanen, and he turned him into a gavar rabba. Okay, a very important person. Yom achad havukam miflegei beit midrasha. One day they were arguing in the beit midrash. Hasayef basakim v'apigyon v'haromach u'magal yad u'magal katsir. All these different types of utensils, weapons, and the knife, the sickle, the sword, the all different things. At what point do they become mekabel tumah? By the way, this is interesting, right? Remember the other story from Elazar Ben Horkinus. It was also about a mekabel tumah. This, right, you'd think, oh, who cares mekabel tumah, right? But these, for some reason, became very central arguments. Mishak mar malachtan. Remember, in order for something to start to become mekabel tumah, it has to be called a kli. When is it a kli? At the time it's finished. So, me matai gemar melachtan. Obviously, what's the final, right? When do they become considered gemar melacha? Rabbi Yochanan omer mishiyat sarfen bekivshan. When you put them in the right, once they are welded in the furnace. Rish Lakish amar mishiyat tachtzacham b'mayim. It's not enough to come out of the furnace, but then they would put it in cold water, and that would solidify the kli. So amar lei. Now, how he meant this is a good question, and how it was taken is whether he meant it the way it was taken is a good question or not. Amarle, lista belistiyute yada. Now you can read this in a few different ways. What he's saying is, you're listim. These are weapons, right? You know all about weapons, right? What's he doing? He's mentioning his past, which you're not supposed to do, right? Especially, we have the whole thing, he couldn't even go back to get his clothes, right? So there's like an image of Rish Lakish never wanted to turn around, but Rabbi Yochanan does. He goes back. Now, whether he was angry with him is a good question. Some people postulate that, they suggest that that he was upset that Rish Lakish was actually taking a stand against his opinion. I have trouble believing this because, again, depending on whether you call this truth or not truth, right? But this is toward the end of their lives, you'll see. And there are many arguments where Rish Lakish takes a stand against Rabbi Yochanan. Okay, so it's a little strange, but maybe he felt like, I taught you everything and now you're coming to Paskin against me. But again, whether he meant it in a negative way, because he was angry with him, or whether he meant it not in an angry way, but it was still, right? Sometimes you say something and then you realize you shouldn't have said that. It obviously made the person feel bad, and you don't always think about how sensitive people are. Definitely showed insensitivity either which way. So Amar Lei, Umaya Hanatli, what have you done for me? You know, you think you're so great that you've taught me all this Torah, and you brought me to be a big person here. Hatam Rebbe Karuli, Hacha Rebbe Karuli. There, in my listim days, I was the head of the listim, and they called me Rebbe. And here, they call me Rebbe. What? You know, you didn't turn me into a great person. I was a great person to begin with. In others, I was born a leader. You didn't do anything to me. So what do you? You know, why are you saying this to me? Some people say it doesn't mean what have you benefited me. Some will say it means hona'ah. Why are you putting me down? Because I was great even in my old life, okay? There's many different ways of interpreting all these statements. Amar lei, ahan elach de'akriv nech tacha kampe ashchina. I brought you tacha kampe ashchina. There's a big difference, right? And if you can't get that difference, right? And it could very well be that there was a misinterpretation here. Right? It could be that Rish Lakish wasn't necessarily saying, you haven't done anything for me, but Rabbi Yochanan took it as, you haven't done anything for me, and, you know, I may as well be back in my listing days if you're going to insult me like this. And he's saying, what are you talking about? I brought you Tacha Kapei Ashchina. I can't believe you don't even realize what I've done for you. So I think, again, what's going on here is a big, you know, lack of understanding each other. Again, it fits in with the Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon theme about saying things or doing things that you later regret, okay, which we're going to get to. We'll see their regret later down the road. But clearly, they're just having a big fight, and, you know, it's getting worse by the minute. Chalash date to Rabbi Yochanan, chalash Rabbi Rish Lakish. Okay, here it's interesting that different things happen to each of them. Rabbi Yochanan gets depressed, basically, and Rish Lakish gets sick. Okay, one is chalash and one is chalash date. Okay, what the significance of that is, I don't know exactly, but different things happen to each of them. Atai achte kabachye. She goes now, the sister of Rabbi Yochanan goes to Rabbi Yochanan and starts crying to him. You know, here she loved Rish Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan set this whole thing up, and now he's destroying Rish Lakish's life. He's going to die. Amarle, aseh b'shvil banai. Do it for my sons. Amar la, and he answers her very strangely, Azva yitomaech ani achayeh. Okay, in other words, he's quoting this pasuk, which means, you know, Hashem will help the yitomim. And you don't need me, God will help your sons. Aseh b'shvil, which by the way, shows that he understood that Rish Lakish was dying. This was, you know, serious. Aseh b'shvil almanuti, what about me? I'm going to become an almana, have rachamim on me. And her point is, if you're not going to have rachamim on Rish Lakish, at least look at the rest of us who are your family. Amalai, v'amanutayach alai tivtachu. Okay, again, rely on God. Nach nafshei de Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish. First of all, notice here, for the first time, he's called Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish. Okay, until then, I forgot to point out, but all the time, Rabbi Yochanan's calling him, he calls him ben Lakish. You know, he doesn't treat him with a lot of respect, and here he's all of a sudden called Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish. V'hakam itzta'er Rabbi Yochanan batrei tuva. He was very, very upset now. Okay, he gets very upset that he died. Amar Rabbanan, man lezal, liatve date, ledate. Who's going to go? This, by the way, is the same Lashon in the other story, right? Who's going to go and appease him, right? Who's going to go and try to make him feel better? Nezal Rabbi Lezer ben Pedat. It's the same as the Rabbi Yochanan Rabban Gamliel story, right? Who's going to go in his stead? Who's going to be, right? And all these things is a big turning point. Who's going to be the next one? And the rabbis are all kind of congregating, trying to figure it out. So Nezer Rabbi Lezer ben Pedat, the Mechadidin Shmatate. His Shmuotor, right, his learning is very, very sharp. Azal Yativ Kameh, so he goes before him. Now we're going to all of a sudden learn about the style of learning between Rish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan. Kol milta dava amar Rabbi Yochanan, amar le tanya demaseyalach. He knew everything, basically. So anytime Rabbi Yochanan would say something, he'd say, oh, I have a brayta that supports you. Oh, I have a brayta that supports you. Now this, by the way, would be much more matim for someone like Rabbi Elazar ben Pedad, who grew up with Torah, as opposed to Rish Lakish, who didn't have the breadth of knowledge, but he was incredibly sharp. So he was able to, we'll see, provide a different type. So Amar, at kibar Lakisha, you're like Ben Lakish here again. He's treating him with disrespect, even though now all of a sudden he has a different way of seeing him, but he calls him Ben Lakish. You think you're like Ben Lakish? Bar Lakish kiyama mina milta hava makshe le'yashrim v'arba kushiyata u'mufrakina le'yashrim v'arba peruke. If I would say something, Rish Lakish would ask 24 questions and I provide him with 24 answers. U'mimela rav chashmata. And through his questions, I would strengthen my, right? I would basically understand the sugi even better. Vata martana dem se'alach. Atalayadana de Shapir Kamina. What, you're just trying to support what I say? What, I didn't know that what I said was good? Yeah, I know what I said was right, but by just providing a support, that doesn't really help me. Hava ka'aza v'kare mane. Okay, here we see the clothing again, right? Here he rips his clothes, okay, symbolic of the way it started, where he didn't have his clothes. He all, and it's interesting, in the end, Rish Lakish ended up without his clothes in the beginning, and now Rabbi Yochanan ends up without clothes because he rips his clothes. V'kabache, and he cries. V'amar, hecha'at bar Lakisha, hecha'at bar Lakisha. V'hava katsavich ad deshaf da'at emine. He basically cries out until he basically loses his mind. Okay, he goes crazy. Ba'u Rabbanan, the interesting end of the story, ba'u Rabbanan rachame ale v'nach nashi. The rabbis prayed for him to die, basically, and he dies. Okay, this obviously is a text used in euthanasia context. You know, you're allowed to pray for someone's death. Are you allowed to, you know, mercy killing? Anyway, very interesting that they, right, the Mepharshim say, why didn't they pray for him to live, right? They should have done that. And I think they understood that
he wasn't anything without
Rish Lakish, and without finding a comparable replacement, he basically was nowhere. Okay. Again, the themes that come up in this story match the themes of before, the arrogance, the speaking, right? We had that line yesterday that said about Shomer Pivu Lushano Shomer Mitzarot Nafsho, right? If you watch your mouth, you will be saved from Tzarot. And here the rabbis didn't watch their mouth, right? Each of them said very harmful things to the other. Again, the power struggle, you know, whether it was that Rish Lakish was starting to paskin against him and he was threatened by that and therefore reacted as a possibility, or maybe that wasn't the issue. But either which way, you know, he clearly didn't handle this right and then later regrets it and later realizes that he should have handled things differently. And again, it's showing the rabbis were not beyond reproach. They're not, you know, they're not perfect individuals. Okay, we'll keep going and then we'll go back. Vafilu hachi, now we're going back to Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon from yesterday. Vafilu hachi, lo samach Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon adate. Even though, okay, so back to the story. Okay, we got all totally off on a sidetrack because we brought another story about, like Rabbi Shimon Ben Elazar's story. I'm sorry, Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon's story. Then we got into the beauty issue, right, and the greatness of the rabbis, and the, you know, because of the obesity. Then about the, you know, the Machronita started with their private parts. Then we got to the other rabbis' private parts. Then we got to the beauty of Rabbi Yochanan. Then we got to the story which relates to the beauty of Rabbi Yochanan. Now we're back full circle. Even though he took out his innards and they did it right, he still wasn't okay with this. Kabel alei sure. He basically starts asking to suffer. Okay? He prays to God that he should have suffering. He feels like he will, through the suffering, that will be his repentance. Be'urta hava machele shitim namte. Every night they would bring him 60. Okay, 60 is a number that comes up in stories. Okay, again, a bit extreme, but it's just a large number. They would bring him 60, like, cushions or sheets underneath him to sleep on. Litzafer nagde mitote shitim mishichle dama v'kiba. It was full of the 60, all through the 60 ones. He bled and it was pussy, okay, because he had all these terrible things on his body that he had prayed that God would, you know, torture him by. Lemachar avdele lebitu shiti mine lafta. Okay, again, the 60 number, right? It's just a literary device. She prepared for him 60 manot of this fig dish. Ve'achil lehu ubari. And he would eat it and he would get better. But this would be basically a cycle. Every day he'd eat this stuff, he'd get better. And then at nighttime again, it would all come back. And why was it coming back? Because he was praying for it to come back, okay, every night. Belo havashav kalei de bitu, his wife wouldn't allow him, lemefach lebe midrasha. Ki hecha, she wouldn't let him go to the Beit Midrash at all. Why not? Because remember, the rabbis were all upset with him with what went on. Remember, Shob and Korcha was against him, and this other guy had insulted him. And she said, if you keep going there, they're going to keep insulting you, and it's going to bring upon you bad luck. Okay, it's going to make you suffer more. She saw all the suffering. Ki hecha delo l'tchuku rabana. Okay, so they won't push you off, and then you'll end up with more yisurin. Be'urta amar lehu, achyai v're'ai bo, right, in the evening he would say, come to these, he would say to the Yisurim, come. But Safra Amar Lahu, Zilu Mipnei Bitul Torah. So he would say, please go away from me because it's I need to learn Torah during the day. In other words, he wanted his Yisurim to come at night, not during the day, so he could learn Torah. Yom Achad, Shama Debitu, she heard him every day. All of a sudden, she heard him one day asking for the Yisurim to come upon him. So what does she do? Amar Le, Ad Kamaiti Lahu Alaych Ilavech? You're bringing this upon yourself? She couldn't believe. She didn't understand. She thought he was sick. She didn't understand he was bringing this upon himself. Kalita mamon shel beit aba. She said, you went through all the money of my father's household because I needed to buy these figs every day to cure you. And so basically, imarda. She's moreg bo. Okay, she rebels against him. Aza lebe nasha. And she goes to her father's house and leaves him. Okay? So now he's all by himself, suffering, right? Who's going to make him that fig dish every day? So a miracle happens, basically. These 60 sailors come. Again, the 60 number. They bring in these 60 boats come, and these 60 avadim come. Kinikite shitin arnake, they had 60 wallets full of money. And they made 60 kinds of this fig dish, ba'achelahu, and he would eat that. So basically, these guys came in and supported him. One of them, maybe Rashi says it, right? Rashi says, why did these guys come in? Because there was a storm, and they prayed in his name that they should be saved, and they were saved in his name, and because of that, they came and saved him. Whether that's, again, whether this whole story is true, right? Okay. So now, Amar Leh Labarte, the wife says to his daughter, Zili baki ba'avuch. Maika Avid, go check what's going on with your father, right? She still cared about him. Haidna, right? What's going on with him now? Atya Amrala, Zili Amre Li'imach Shelanu, Li'imech, he says to her, go tell your mother, Shelanu Gadol Mishelahem, that my wealth right now is greater than the wealth of your father's house. Okay, right? That it was like the aniyot socher, right? The lechem came from Rachok, and basically all this wealth came from these other guys. He ate and drank, and he became fully, all better. Sounds like maybe he stopped asking for these yisurim. Nafik lebe midrasha. He goes into the Beit Midrash. Aitu lekame, they bring before him, our magic number, shitin mine dama, 60 different types of damim of women from Nida blood, taharinu, and he said they're all tahorim. Hava kameranine rabanan ba'amre, salkadatech leilachbu chad safek? Could it really be that not one of these are you mistupak about? And that's all of these 60 bloods that we couldn't figure out? You think they're all good? Amar lehu, im kimotihu, you kulam zacharim. This sounds very much like the Rebbe Elazar ben Hurkanah story, right? If I am right, he's like giving a magical siman. If I'm right, all the babies born to these women who now go home and sleep with their husbands because they're not in nida will be zacharim. V'im lav tehene keva achat benehem. And if not, there'll be one nekeva born among them. Okay, again, whether this is a sign because Charim was always considered better, some of the Mefreshim say it's because there's no Tum'ah whatsoever in them because a girl, right, has potential for Tum'ah Nidah, down the road. So basically he's saying they're so pure that only what's going to come from them, right, is going to have nothing that will ever become blood. Hayu kulam zcharim, okay, so they were all zcharim, v'asikulahu Rabbi Elazar al shmei, and they all called them, right, not probably not Rabbi Elazar, but Elazar, okay? They call all those babies Elazar. Tanya,
hard on the kindergarten teacher.
Yes. Tanya, I'm a Rebbe. So Rebbe says, as a reaction to this, Kama Piriya Rivya Bitla Risha'a Zomi Yisrael. Okay, which sounds like he's complaining about the wife. That because she wouldn't let him go to the Beit Midrash, look how many kids could have been born. Okay, it could be just, Risha'a doesn't mean Risha'a like the woman. It could be Risha'a evil. In other words, what he did from the beginning, right? This again goes back to the last statement he had said from the very beginning when he said, if you watch your mouth, then you'll be saved. And was it him? Was he talking about the other guy? You know, all these things have many meanings. There were a lot of things that caused all this to happen. It could have been the risha'ah of the rabbis who weren't accepting of him, right? All of it. Everybody was... I think what's important about these stories is everybody's at fault in all these stories. Rabbi Yochanan's at fault, Rabbi Yishlakis is at fault, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon's at fault, Rabbi Shimon Korach is at fault. Everybody's at fault, and that's what I think the whole message is. That there's a problem in the Beit Midrash, it's not a problem of the rabbi or the one in charge or the people, and not that everybody has to take equal responsibility to resolve the issues. Kiava Kanicha Nafshe.
He says now, okay, when he was ready to die, he says to his wife, I know that the rabbis are angry at me,
and they're not going to want to bury me, okay? Even though he was Matar, all these women, they were still angry with the whole situation. And they're not going to want to deal with my burial. So, Veloma Askebi Shapir. Shapir ognim bi'ilat iltai velo titchalum minai. He says there's something very strange. Leave me in the attic, don't bury me, and don't be scared of me. Okay? Don't be nervous that you have this dead body in the attic. Okay? Amar Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmani ishti ilei ima de Rabbi Yonatan. By the way, what's interesting here is he tells his wife to do this. Obviously, his wife must have come back at some point, right? It doesn't tell us that, but obviously she must have come back. Some of the rabbis say he didn't really die. He was just very sick, like on his deathbed for many years, kind of half dead in his attic, because how could it be you wouldn't bury someone? But okay. Amar Shmuel bar Nachmani, ishti li imi de Rabbi Yonatan, de ishti la debitu de Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon. Okay, so here, Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmani says, the mother of Rabbi Yonatan told me this, and she heard it from the wife of Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon. Lo pacha mitim nisrei, velo tfei me'esrim v'trein shnin, ognati bi'ilta. Okay, it was no less than 18 years and no more than 22 years he was up in her attic. Ki ava slikna me'inan alei b'mazye, ki ava mishtamit b'ini tamine hava'ate dama. Okay, and when she would go up there to check up on him, if a hair would fall out of his head, blood would come out, meaning he was still somewhat alive, right? It didn't. What usually happens to a dead body, it decomposes. This body didn't decompose. Okay, this a little sounds like Eliyahu almost, right? He never dies. There's some sort of theme going on here. I lost my place. Okay. Chalash Datai. Sorry. Yomachad. Yomachad chaze richsha de kanaf kameone. She sees a worm coming out of his ear. Chalash Datai. She gets nervous. Itchazai li b'chelma. He appeared to her in a dream. Amar li lo midihu. Don't worry, it's nothing. It's only because one day I heard someone embarrassing a rabbi, Talmid Chacham, and I didn't stop them. Again, you see this theme. Now it's really, right? Why was a worm coming out of his ear? Because he heard something, right? That's why it was coming out of his ear, and he didn't do anything about it. Again, this theme about the Beit Midrash and people embarrassing people and ignoring it. Kiyavaka atu beitre ledina. Two people would have a fight between them. Have a kaimei ababa. They would go to the door of his house. Amar mar milte umar milte. Right? This one would say that. That one would say that. Nafik kalami ilita v'amar ish ploni ata chayav ish ploni ata zakai. And the judgment would come out like a bat kol. Okay? Again, it's remembering, right? It's reminiscent of the bat kol coming. And even though we don't hold by a bat kol, but somehow they would, you know, some of them are French and say, well, obviously they didn't hold by a bat kol, but it would make them, it was almost like an inner voice of theirs, kind of telling them, you know, you should judge this way. Yom echad hava kaminsa debitu bahadeh shivvata amrele tehei kebala shelo nitan lekvura. She was going into the city, and they said to, right, what is this? Amrela tehei kebala. Someone said, you should be like, right, how do we translate it? You should be like this, like her husband that wasn't buried. In other words, I think, the whole idea, I forgot to mention this, was that he was hoping that no one would really know that he had died. Okay? So basically, she comes to the city and she realizes that people know that, one second.
Ah, that's what it is. Sorry, Mincia, I forgot to translate that word. She was fighting with a neighbor, and the neighbor said to her, to curse her, that she should be like her husband. You should be like your husband, Shaloni Tan Likfura, that's never going to ever be buried. Okay, so she realizes that the word is out. Okay, so Amar Rabbanan, Kule Hai, Badai Lav Arch Orcha. Okay, Vadala Arach Ara. This, now that this is known, like, we can't really continue like this. We have to deal with it. Igad Amar Rav Shimon Bar Yochai Itchazei Lehu B'chalma. That he appeared to the rabbis in a dream. Amar Lehu, and he said to them, Preda Chad Yesh Li Beinechem. The Rav Shimon Bar Yochai said, look, I only have one son amongst you. V'iyatam Rotzim Lehavi Atzli. And you don't even want to bring him to me. Okay, so basically, that somehow it came out either through a dream of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai coming, his father, or through the neighbor who found out, and the rabbis heard, and they said, okay, Azo Rabbanan Lasukebe, so they decide we're going to go bury him. Lo Shavku B'nei Achbaraya, Dekoshne Dehavanaim Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon Be'ilite Lo Salak Lechayara Alamatayu. The people of B'nei Achbaraya, which is the city where he was, didn't want to allow this because all the years he was up there in the attic, this miracle was happening that no bad animal would come into their city, okay? Because he was kind of this protection. See all these weird themes going on here. Yom Echad, Mala Yom de Kippur Havu, okay? It was Erev Yom Kippur, have a treaty. They were all busy. Shad Rabbanan Lebnei Biri, Vasku La'arse, Vamtu L'Nara De'Avua. So they decided this is the day we're going to do it. Okay, it goes back to that Yom Kippur from yesterday, right? It's holy day, right? That there was the bad guy who slept with, right? Him and his son slept with a woman on Erev Yom on Yom Kippur. Here it's Erev Yom Kippur. They go. Wait, so 1 second. Right, I think the idea is that everyone was busy getting ready for Yom Kippur, and they figured this will go unnoticed. So they basically take him out of the city while nobody's noticing. And what happens? They get to the Ma'ara where Rav Shimon Bar Yochai is buried. Right, this isn't connected to the fact that he was in a Ma'ara learning. This is just, that's how they bury people. Eshkechua la'achana v'hajola la'ma'arata. Okay, they v'hajola la'ma'arata. So there was a nachash, a snake on the, you know, wrapped around the cave, the entrance to the cave. Amar la'achna achna p'tchi picha v'yikanes ben etz alaviv. Right, open your mouth so that the son can come to the father. Patach le. Again, we see this miraculous, right? There's this whole theme of miracles when it comes to Rabbi Elazar Bar Shimon, and the Nachash opens himself up and lets them in. Shalach Rebbe l'taber b'ishto. Shalach, right, so now Rebbe wants to marry his wife. Okay, very strange. Shalchal le, she says to him, Kli shenishtamesh bo kodesh, ishtamesh bo chol. She says, whoa, right? In other words, yeah, ouch. Okay? Taman Amrin, there they say, Ba'atra demare beta tale zayina, kubaraya kolte tala. Okay, here it goes. She says, this is what they say, that the head of the household, right, has the master of the house hangs his sword, shall the contemptible shepherd hang his basket, right? And that is, again, the same idea. Shalachla, nihid betora gadol mimeni, aval masim tovim mi gadol mimeni. Right, he might have been a greater Torah scholar, but was he better? Did he have better maasim tovim? Shalchale betorah miyagadol mimcha lo yadana. She says, I don't even know if he was bigger than you in Torah, but maasim yadana. But I know he was bigger than you, but maasim. Tahakabala le yisurai. Okay, because he took upon himself all these yisurim. Okay, it's interesting. You know, we try not to think that torturing ourselves is a positive thing, but she saw it as a positive thing. Betorah mayhi tkiavuyatra rabbanan. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, Rabbi Shimon ben Korcha, Safsle, Yatu Kamaya, Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Aara. Okay, here we're going to see who is right, what's the story with them with Torah. So here we're going to see, and I know it's a bit over, I want to get to the end here. So there were these rabbis sitting, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, Rabbi Shimon ben Korcha were sitting on the Safsalim, and Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Shimon, and Rabbi came, they were sitting on the ground. Makshu Mefarku, they started asking questions. Amri Miyaman, Anushotin. We're learning so much from them, and they're sitting on the floor. Avdilu safsale, they made safsalim for them. Askinu, and they went on them. Amarlu lahem Rabbi Shim ben Gamliel, preda chad yeshli benichem, batem mevachim labdai meni. Okay, just like, right, Rebbe is Rabbi Shim ben Gamliel's son. He says, I have only one son, and you want to labdami meni? What was he worried about? The Ayin Hara. If you put him on this higher chair when he's so young, right, people are going to say, oh, what an Eloi, and that's going to bring the Ayin Hara. So, Ach Tehle Rebbe. So they put Rebbe down back on the floor. Amar Lahem Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha. All of a sudden, Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha, who was against Rabbi Lezer in the beginning, here he supports him. What does he say? Mi sheyesh lo av yechiel, mi sheyen lo av yamut. It's very nice that Rabbi Shimon Gamaliel is protecting his son, but no one's protecting Rabbi Elazar. So, Achtu Anami lo Rabbi Elazar ba Rabbi Shimon. Okay, which shows that they were equal in Torah. Chalash da'ate, Amar kachashivita le kavate adahu yame. You know, let's stop here. We'll stop here. We'll finish up tomorrow. But what's interesting, we'll see tomorrow, is that what I really wanted to get to, but we didn't, is that the story ends. There's more. It goes on and on. But I really wanted to get to the part. It ends here, the story of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, that he was an Anav. And it talks about these three rabbis that were very humble and humbled themselves. And it's really the foil to the other rabbis, who really highlights the theme of the arrogance that we were talking about. Okay, we'll continue more tomorrow, more stories, more...